Hello, and welcome to the show. I'm Martin Willis, your host, and we have a great show for you this evening. First, we have a special guest, John Greenwald, and he's coming on to talk about his interesting take on the Wilson leak documents. We will give a quick recap of what that means at first, and because some of you may not be familiar with that subject at all. And then we'll go into the great research that John has done and what he came up with and a lot more. I want to thank the people behind the scenes, Bill Skywatcher at KGRA Radio and Peggy for managing our very active Facebook page. That's at Facebook/podcastUFO. And you, my listeners, I hope all of you are safe and sound. I really do appreciate you listening to the shows. And I want to thank all my supporters as well. I could not do this without you. And anyone can support the show. That's over on Patreon. And you can get there through podcastufo.com. Just a couple of things. I have been basically, I used to support myself by painting, believe it or not. I had my own art gallery. But so I'm starting to do a couple of UFO paintings. Here's one I did last week, a little snowy winter. This is, of course, is on YouTube. For those of listening to the podcast, it's a triangular UFO over a snow-covered hillside in a house with lights on. Still haven't quite named that one yet. But anyway, I do have a special link that I made for my UFO paintings over. It's actually in the show notes for YouTube. And you can see it there. And you can also go to my main art website, which is martinwillisart.com. And I want to make a deal. So if you want a UFO painting, I will personalize it to you and send it. Shipping is always free in the United States. It's really a private link is what you'll find to the UFO paintings because I don't have them on my normal website. You also want to go over to check at podcastufo.com and check out this week's blog by Charles Lear. It's called The Other New Mexico UFO Crash. And that was in San Antonio, New Mexico, on August 16th, 1945, a couple of years before Roswell. It's a very interesting story. And there's actually a link on the Black Vault regarding the materials that supposedly were found over at the site. And speaking of the Black Vault, we have John Greenwald will be joining us right now. Welcome to the show, John.
Hey, Martin, it's good to be here. It's good to see you again, too.
I know. It's been a while. It's always great. Now, the reason you're on, I let you know this. I listened to and watched your video, and that's also, by the way, linked in the show notes and below on YouTube. Your great video that went comprehensively into these documents, the Wilson supposed leak. Been hearing a lot about this for the last several months. First of all, I do want to set the stage on how this all happened. If you wouldn't mind going through that, but first I want to say that I did indeed contact, as I let you know, I contacted Ralph Blumenthal and Leslie Kane. Mm-hmm. I asked them both because there's a lot of rumors going around that there's going to be a breaking story in the New York Times.
Yes,
and even George Knapp said it on Coast to Coast the other night. And they both said, we have nothing. We have nothing here.
Interesting.
So
I never get excited about rumors until it actually happens. You know, even right. If somebody says something's coming in 5 minutes, I still don't get excited until when it finally appears 5 years later. But yeah, that is interesting and good for you for reaching out, getting the quotes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, someone, when I mentioned that to someone else, they said, oh, they're just not going to let you know, and it's going to drop.
That's but you know
that
what
is a possibility.
In fairness, that's possible. I mean, the rumors that I'm hearing out in the Twitterverse and social media and the whispers and stuff is that, you know, they're going to be covering crash retrievals. That's potentially something that might tie into these Wilson documents and so on and so forth. And to be honest with you, I am very curious to see how some outfit like the New York Times will source that, because these types of stories, you're talking about anonymous source after anonymous source after third, fourth hand. I said that, she said that, I heard, and, you know, back alley conversations. That's not New York Times style.
They're not going to be interested. Yeah.
I'm interested to see if something does drop. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. For those out there that have no idea what we're talking about when we talk about the Wilson leak, this came out a while back. Can you kind of give a nutshell of what that is?
Sure. Well, in ufological style, the way that these surfaced was a mysterious leak of records that popped up on a website called Imager. And this was last year. And these documents, there were, I think, 15 pages total or something like that. And essentially, it was a note breakdown from allegedly Dr. Eric Davis, the same one that has been intimately connected to NIDS with Robert Bigelow, also with the OSAP program, or what is often rumored as the Pentagon UFO study. And essentially, this was a note breakdown of his meeting with an Admiral Thomas Wilson. And essentially it gets into, I mean, the highlight nutshell version is it gets into the fact that this Admiral was made aware about UFO slash extraterrestrial programs going on. He aimed to gain access because he was director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, J2, which is part of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. So a very high ranking person. You know, this was not just a military guy looking around trying to get some secrets. This was a very high ranking, well-established, careered military man. So as the notes display, they talked about UFO crash retrieval programs, that it was being hidden in large part in the private sector, and that he was denied access, that he tried to gain access, but was denied. And so someone at his level, who should have access, as per the notes, that he believed he should have access, was denied. He was very angry about that. Now, obviously, there's many more details, but that's kind of the nutshell of what these notes say and what they outline. And again, in that ufological style, very little provenance. Now, people will argue with me that, but there's a lot of anonymous sources that go around with those that are touting these as real, that they have sources that confirm to them privately that they're real and this meeting took place and so on and so forth, but they just won't come out with them publicly. And I've asked numerous people who keep touting these numerous anonymous sources, and no one will say anything. So that's, for me, from an investigator standpoint, is so frustrating, because you want to have that either provenance to the documents with names attached, or people that can corroborate the story. And right now, we only have that third hand, fourth hand information.
That's right. And I just, something from it, from the very beginning, when I started to look into it, and I didn't do nowhere near the deep research that you did. I mean, you talked with different people and asked for, different opinions about the different, what people can say about classified programs. And that's a really good point. Why would Wilson jeopardize his, everything, basically, right? His
whole career. Yeah. And that is the biggest question, just that common sense way of looking at it, that doesn't make sense to me. And so after these surfaced, I would get a lot of questions. What do you think of this? What do you think of this? Because it was a hot topic. And I just didn't want to touch it for a long time, simply because it's so difficult to research leaked documents, because you have no idea, again, where they came from, who's involved with it. Will Eric Davis actually talk? Now, obviously, he won't. His only on the record comment was no comment. I am hearing that again, more rumors, but more information may come out. I know that he talked about it coming from the astronaut Edgar Mitchell estate and the collection of documents. But that in itself doesn't mean much. That sounds really neat, but that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean that it's real. It doesn't mean the meeting took place. So again, we need a little bit more than that. And Eric Davis won't go on the record and say, I had this meeting. I sat with Admiral Wilson and he was denied access. This actually went down. If he goes on the record, I may reevaluate what I think. But after getting these requests to kind of tackle it, I had interviewed other people about it, but I just didn't want to touch it. I finally gave in and I started in and started reaching out to people who had researched different aspects of this, tried to see what I could find out. And something just clicked when I was researching it. And it just stuck in my head. And that was that this was a fictionalized either television or movie script, as crazy as that sounds. That's how it read. Now, right. For those who don't know, I've worked in television for many years. I've produced, I've written, I've directed for networks like History Channel, Discovery Channel, National Geographic Channel. This screams like a very amateurishly put together creative attempt at putting a scene together. And what I did in this video is I challenged myself. And I went back to 2002 when these were allegedly written and looked at what was on television. And wouldn't you know, The X-Files was coming to an end that same year, just months prior. A hit television show called Beyond Belief that was all about fictionalized accounts that may or may not have been true. So again, fictionalized, a lot of them were just fake, but they would throw in real stories, and it was up to you to find out what was fact and what was fiction, hence the title, Beyond Belief, Fact or Fiction. That was what was going on around this exact same time frame in the exact same part of the year that these notes were, again, allegedly written. So that sounds like a crazy idea, and I laugh at myself for bringing it up, and I don't know if that's really what this is, nor do I propose it as such. But my aim for the video was to show a very reasonable, very plausible explanation. And as I kept digging in, it made more and more sense to me that this was just a creative script, because you have that dialogue. You even have Thomas Wilson interrupting Eric Davis in this, in these notes.
Yeah,
that's a little bit weird. I mean, if you're taking notes, and let's say I'm taking notes, and Martin, you get angry that I keep talking over you, which sometimes happens, so I'll apologize. But let's say you get angry and I'm taking notes, I would just say, oh, he got angry at me. You know, I kept interrupting him. I wouldn't start like trying to make a scene between you and I as I'm taking notes. And so that's why it just kind of clicked that it was more of this creative fictionalized account. And then that led me to this scene, and I showed from my personal collection of weird things. I have an original movie script from the movie Groundhog Day, and I pulled that out, and it is set up the exact same way.
I've seen the scripts, and you know, I knew when I read those notes, that's the first thing I said. It just seemed funny. They seemed funny, but I never connected that to a script. But once I heard you say that, I like, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And it also makes sense why, Eric Davis would say no comment if he has, signed an agreement not to talk about a movie. But I mean, not to say that he would be in a movie. But anyway, you can see the question up on the screen there. And so you got an answer to that one?
How come Davis verified the authenticity to Dolan, according to Dolan? Well, that's the problem, is the only on the record statement that I could find was that there was no comment. So if this was given in secret, I'd love to see the on the record comment. I did look for that because I know that Richard Dolan is a big advocate for these documents being real. He calls them the leak of the century. And that's great. But as far as I could find, there was no on the record comment that, again, he had kind of stayed away from commenting it and essentially saying no comment. In addition, Dr. Hal Puthoff also put out a statement that he said that his colleague had interviewed Admiral Wilson, but since it had dealt with potentially ongoing programs, he also declined to comment. So this is what we need, is not these gray areas and these hidden pieces of gems, maybe in this YouTube video or that. These things have to be put out into the open. If Eric Davis will go on the record and say, this happened, I wrote those notes and I stand by it, then let's move forward with that. But as far as I can tell, there's nothing out there in the ether that we can cite from him saying that.
And Wilson is totally denying it. And why would he get in the back of a car in Las Vegas? And by the way, he says he hasn't been to Las Vegas since 1979.
Right.
But why would he get in the back of the car and talk to Davis for 45 minutes, someone he doesn't even know, about something that's top secret? You know,
it doesn't make sense. No. Yeah. And very quickly, I'd like to make the point that if let's just say that Admiral Wilson looked into this and happened to stumble on the existence of a special access program or what they call like unacknowledged special access programs or whatever. And it's highly classified, even though he was not quote unquote read in. And even though he may have been denied access, the mere existence of it in and of itself would be classified information. So someone at Wilson's level would not go and share that information willingly, especially since he himself was cleared for certain levels of secrecy. He had a clearance himself. So that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Again, especially sharing it with a member of a UFO group like NIDS or Dr. Eric Davis in a car in Las Vegas. Again, creatively from a fictionalized standpoint, absolutely, that makes for a good scene, but it doesn't make sense elsewhere. And I think only in ufology does going back to your comment about Wilson denying seeing Davis, only in ufology does a denial equal an acknowledgement that it all happened. You know, I mean, of course he's going to lie, so it has to be true. And that's not true. We need a little bit more evidence than what we've got.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Have you actually looked at what UFO Joe wrote?
I did. Yeah. And
pretty intense articles and, nice writing. But he was actually going to be on the show tonight. And I just, unfortunately, I just didn't quite, I didn't see enough to be 100% convinced, although he did a good job.
Yeah. The only thing, because I don't want to take away from his work, I know he worked very hard on that.
Yes, he did.
But when we start relying on anonymous sources, that particular author may be comfortable with the anonymous source that they have, but they have to understand that people like me who rely on a little bit more evidence and conclusive proof need a name. You know, I mean, anonymous sources are good supporting pieces of the puzzle. If you have a couple people that you can name, and then maybe you add in another anonymous source that really solidifies it, okay, I can accept that. I don't like it, but I can accept it. But if you're solely relying on anonymous sources and kind of these back behind the scenes conversations to solidify your point, you have to understand where people like me are really skeptical. You know, it's really easy this day and age to get fooled by anybody with a Twitter account or, you know, an anonymous encrypted email, that you can be anybody, sit down and fool somebody into thinking you're somebody. You know, all you got to use is some big words and know a few key words, and automatically some may buy into the story. So that's why with the field of UFOs, I think we need to step back a little bit and realize that anonymous sources can't be the end all. Something this important that requires that evidence requires people to be named. You know, again, that if Eric Davis gave his seal of authenticity that this is real, then that's great. Put out an open letter to the UFO community, or send it to the New York Times, or write an op-ed for Washington Post and put it in writing and call out the U.S. government. But if that's not going to happen, then we've got a long way to go.
Who is the astronomer that extraordinary
claims requires extraordinary evidence? Yeah, I believe Carl Sagan said that.
Yeah, it wasn't even Carl Sagan saying, but he took it from someone else. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he was known for that saying. But you do need extraordinary evidence when you have an extraordinary claim like that. That's for sure.
I'll even settle for some evidence, right? I mean, I just need some. That's what I'm going for. I don't know how much time you have, but really quickly, the crazy thing for me is the fact that people will attack me, not a lot, but attack me for this theory that it could be this script, you know, a
fictionalized. I think they already were in the chat room, but.
Well, oh, see, I can't see the chat.
That's okay.
But that's the thing. They'll attack me for that being a quote unquote crazy theory, but they're exchanging it for a high ranking admiral sitting in a car in Las Vegas, violating a security oath, talking about a UFO crash retrieval program and extraterrestrials. So that part's not crazy, but I am for saying this might be a fictionalized story, you know. Yeah. And that's what I am always fascinated by.
Yeah. John, it's always great to hear from you. And can you go ahead and throw out your, when your show airs and all that?
I don't have set schedule. I just kind of throw stuff up at random. But the blackvault.com will link you to my podcast, YouTube channel. I have a lot of fun with that. And I love feedback even when people disagree with me. So respectful dialogue is always welcome.
That's right. I think you do an excellent job. And thank you so much for making time, because I know you have a very busy life.
Not a problem. Anytime for you. Let me know.
All right. You take care.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm going to bring in Alejandro. How you doing, Alejandro?
Hello. I am doing well. How are you?
Good. Your audio sounds a little bit weak. I don't know if you can boost your audio just a little bit. But thanks for popping on. I don't know what you can what you didn't talk about last week, but you have a couple of things going on. You're adding more and more to your Patreon site. And so you want to talk a little bit about that? And then I have some questions to ask you as well.
Okay. Do you hear me all right?
Yeah, it's better. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, good. I am well. Yes, I've got all kinds of stuff going on. So thank you so much, Martin, for having me on to talk about that. As far as the Congress, we're moving forward on that. It will have to be completely online. So sorry about that. But, you know, this sort of thing's fun. It'll be like this. And, of course, you've talked about coming and helping us. So we're excited about that. We're always happy to have you there.
Buddy. I'm actually going to be here remote, but I will be helping for sure. Yeah. Yeah. And I would love to.
Yep. So, and then the other thing is the all the live streaming I'm doing. So I've been doing a lot of that. And, I'm trying to kind of have a resurgence, a rebirth of all of this stuff. Some people might have noticed that the Open Mind site is down. And essentially, I'm trying to get that resolved right now. But because of that, that's why I've been trying to do kind of some different things to get things going and get more content out there. I know I've been away for a while. I moved and was trying to figure out this new future and everything, but I'm really excited to get more content out. So for instance, I've got my Rojas report. I have announced this. This is going to be a Wednesday thing. Of course, after yours, the day after yours. And this is going to be where my interviews reside, but also presentations. So I got a lot of requests from people to do a talk on To the Stars and the ATIP program and kind of go over the details of all of that. It's something I've done at events like at Roswell and other places, but I've got all these lectures that I've built for these events and they're not all online. So I've decided to start doing that. You can listen to watch the live stream and join us on live stream on Patreon. You can also subscribe at the openminds.tv YouTube. But Patreon's the best place. Patreon, you can get to everything there. You can watch it live stream there. You can join. There is a membership for that. But otherwise, if you want to pay a little less, you can subscribe just to the audio part.
I know I didn't ask you this, but I'm going to put up there if anyone wants to call in. And you can ask Alejandro, myself, or myself a question. So that number is up there now. 855-472-5483. If anyone wants to give us a call, you can talk about our last guest, any questions you may have about that. But since Alejandro's here, it's always good to have him on. Anyone has a question for him or myself, feel free to call in. And Bill Skywalker will be screening calls over there.
I did want to mention a couple other things that I'll be doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because I think they're important for the time. So with Den of Geek, it's a website I write for sci-fi and that sort of thing, but they were really interested in these Navy UFO videos. So I've been doing a live stream lecture series. And at first I was kind of tackling what's going on here. You know, why has the DOD been so weird about these announcements? Why is this news now? And so what I did was I've kind of been talking about that with people, and it's kind of evolved into now this whole idea of disclosure. Is information being disclosed? What information is being disclosed? Is there more to disclose, and what is there? And one of our friends that's been talking a lot about this lately is Bryce Zabel. So tomorrow I'll be live streaming with him at Den of Geek to talk about that. I think he could represent this idea of, you know, all these people asking for more, more, more. Well, what do they expect? What do they think is there? And he'll let us know. And he's got movie projects along those lines as well. And yeah. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Bryce, he was on, I don't know, was it 2 weeks ago, I think? Brilliant
that man. You had him on?
Yeah, he's a brilliant man. And I think, you know, when he writes something like that, he takes his time and he writes a really nice article. I did share that in one of the links, but this disclosure thing. And I know he wrote a book with Richard Dolan years ago. It was called About Disclosure, right?
It was AD After Disclosure, and it was a speculative book. They were speculating what would happen if disclosure happened. Would people freak out and what they would do? And it's a very interesting book to look through. And what's interesting about that book is, of course, it happened before the Luis Elizondo came out with all of this Pentagon news. Yeah. And we really are going through a sort of disclosure. I think Lou Elizondo would argue that this is disclosure, whereas others think there's more. So we'll see. What's interesting, though, is just what a huge impact this disclosure we're having now has had and is having on our lawmakers and you know, D.C.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's talk about that. I saw that tweeted around everywhere. And Brian Bender as well. Tweeted that. Go ahead and get into that. If I didn't really get a chance to read it.
Okay. Yeah. So this is really late breaking this morning. This is really cool. Where the Senate Intelligence Committee has put in one of the bills regarding, I think, defense spending and intelligence spending. In there, they've requested a report from the UAP task force of the Office of Naval Intelligence. So, and that's exactly what it says, the Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Task Force of the Office of Naval Intelligence. What this organization seems to be, or at least what people are assuming it to be, is exactly what Elizondo worked for. We have heard people like Roger Gassel has got information out. Or information from the Pentagon saying that finally admitting that, yes, you know, a UAP organization exists. It goes across different agencies and that it is ongoing, which was what Elizondo has said all along, even though the Pentagon at first said this ended in 2012. So they've admitted that. And now, you know, as Elizondo and others have said, they've been working behind the scenes to now get that information into lawmakers' hands. And apparently, you know, there are some people concerned that, hey, why are we learning about this from the New York Times? Why haven't we been briefed on this information? So they're asking for a fairly exhaustive report. They're giving them till March of 2021 to put this together. But this is fairly extraordinary. This is going to be the first, you know, UFO report that we've gotten from the government. They've also asked that even though they realize some of this information may be classified, they want as much of it to be public as possible. So this is definitely a report that will have a public component. So we'll be getting some information on this at some point.
Yeah, you can see the question up there. They're asking if you thought the information they release may not be sanitized and useless like the UK data.
Well, I don't think the UK data was useless whatsoever, nor do I feel that there's evidence of any sanitation of that information either. There certainly everything wasn't released. And fortunately, we have some insight like Nick Pope, who worked on those programs, to be able to share, hey, you know, there is some stuff that, you know, may not be out. But I don't know if I necessarily agree with the way that was framed. But will it be useful? It's definitely hard to say. I think it will be useful. I think it's useful on two ends. It's useful. There are politicians who are now interested in looking into it. When it comes out, it will give us some indication, at least on their public stance. Right. Will it be a little bit combative where they're trying obviously to hold back, or will it be a little more transparent and give us the appearance that they are looking into things? That'll be interesting.
And so do you think the Navy, what did they call it? The UAP task force?
The UAP force.
Yeah. So is this something that we are just finding out about?
Well, that could be argued. It's hard to say for sure. Lou Elizondo said that the program that he ran was under the OSD, which was the department that he worked in, which was the Office of the Secretary of Defense. Some people have said, you know, this is saying that this group is in the ONI, the Office of Naval Intelligence. Others are saying that this is the same group, even though maybe they're now being headed out of the ONI. You know, Lou Elizondo's program used to be in the DIA before Lou took over and brought it over to the OSD. So these programs can move around. Also, the Susan Goh, the representative for the Pentagon, who is a press rep, told Roger Gasol in his questioning that there was a task force that was a multi-agency task force, so that different agencies were working on it. So it's possible, and it's being assumed right now, that essentially the existence of this group was originally revealed by Lou Elizondo, denied by the Pentagon, only recently admitted that it existed by the Pentagon, and now the Senate Intelligence Committee is saying, hey, we want more information about this organization you say exists. It's also interesting to note that Marco Rubio was a large part of this, and he was part of briefings that Politico had revealed happened a year ago. And Brian Bender with Politico did write an article today about this as well, kind of briefing some of the information that I just had revealed, along with some information from Chris Mellon, just kind of talking about the importance of all of this.
Now, is this something actually recently happened, or is this something that's been uncovered, basically?
It's sort of something that has been uncovered. So really, here's the history, and this is really interesting. Great question. And this is kind of all great for Luis Elizondo. It's very, vindicating, because essentially Luis Elizondo came out and he said, I work on a program that investigated UFOs. I was frustrated that leadership was not listening to me. He said he tried to take this information to the Secretary of Defense, James Mattis, but they were stopping him. They wouldn't let him take that information to James Mattis. They really wouldn't let him take that information to anyone. Now, in their eyes, they are, you know, allowing him to deny that he knows anything, James Mattis. So if anybody asks James Mattis, what about UFOs? What do you know? He can say, I don't know anything. And he really wouldn't. So it's giving him plausible denial. And it could be those staffers felt there wasn't enough information to present to the Intelligence Committee. However, Elizondo was blocked. He couldn't get the information out. So that's when he decided, I'm going to leave the Pentagon and I'm going to try to get this information out to the public and do a runaround, essentially, and get that information out. And it worked. It's worked like a charm. Now that information has gotten out into the New York Times. Everybody's aware of it. And now the Senate Intelligence Committee, and this is kind of how Chris Mellon has framed this today, they're like, hey, why do we have to know about this from the New York Times? Why weren't we briefed on this? We want to be briefed on this now. One of the first people to pipe up and ask about that was the senator from Arizona who passed away recently, John McCain. And we were able to see in some of the documents and meetings his questions around that. We also, his letter was released to the public as well. There have been other politicians that have asked questions here or there. But now they got their briefing a year ago. You know, they're like, hey, what's going on? McCain asked for a briefing. They got their briefing. And now they're a year later, they're asking for more information. So things just work slow in that arena in some of these topics. And it's really a continuation. It's really Elizondo who you know, opened up Pandora's box here. And this is really, and I think this is accurate, a result of what he's done.
Yeah. We have a caller. Steven is calling from Oregon. Welcome to the show, Steven.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Hey, yep. I'm glad to hear that Alejandro's kind of getting back in the game. And for years, he was such a great source of UFO news. So
thank you. And I will be getting back to that. I'm going to be doing a Friday newscast. Hopefully Martin will be joining me as much as possible, but I'll also be posting that news on Open Minds once I can get the website working. But yeah, I'll be getting back to that.
Yeah, that's great. I followed your work for years. You are always a very reasonable resource for UFO news, and that's not an easy thing to find out there.
That's right.
A couple questions. A couple of Pentagon spokespeople have come out and said that Elizondo was not involved in ATIP. Susan Gao, who you just mentioned, and Christopher Sherwood. And I'm wondering how you reconcile why they would come out and explicitly say Elizondo was not part of ATIP, was never part of ATIP.
It's a great question. Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think that, you know, that's where some of the contention had come in, where I was writing, yes, he was. Obviously, he was. And people were saying, well, how can you say that if the Pentagon spokespeople are saying he's not? Well, here's how I can say that. And this is typical in journalism. We go to the source, the witnesses who would know. Witnesses like Harry Reid, who started the program. Witnesses like Dr. Davis or Dr. Hal Puthoff, who worked on the program. They have firsthand, because they were in the program, to tell us who worked doing what. The press office doesn't have access to that information. I think they were very strong-handed. They shouldn't have been so strong-handed in saying Elizondo did not work for these programs. They've had to walk that back later on because it was proven he was. And Tim McMillan, actually, I don't know if Martin's had him on the show, actually. It'd be good if you haven't. But he has done a lot of conversation with the press department in the Pentagon. And I asked him that question. Well, why didn't they just ask the people we asked? Why didn't they go to the source? And he said they have to ask people who are active with the program. So they can't ask people who worked for the program in the past. It's kind of silly. It's this goofy bureaucratic type of thing. So they weren't able to go to the firsthand witnesses. It's kind of ridiculous. And Tim McMillan said, now Susan Goh has said, well, now it's been so long ago, I can't confirm anything, which is sort of ridiculous, to be honest.
That is. So we don't have a lot of time. So what's your second question, Stephen?
Oh, it was just along the same lines. Because I asked Leslie Keene the same question just a few weeks ago when she was on your show, Martin. And she didn't really, she wrote the New York Times article, right?
Yeah.
And she didn't.
One of the co-authors.
She didn't know, and she couldn't explain why that. They didn't come out and omit his name. They came out and explicitly said he was not part of ATIP.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are arguing. They're not happy that he came out. They didn't know he was going to come out and share this information. He didn't give them a heads up. Hey guys, when I retire, I'm going to come out and share information on this program, which was probably wise of him because they could have worked to keep him from doing so. And so they're up. I think the only way you can square that peg is that they are not happy with him and they are retaliating, that they're trying to smear him. I think that's a perspective many people have. And many people argue that he would have a valid lawsuit if he were to pursue that legally. And perhaps he will in the future. I mean, there's been buzz about that sort of thing.
So what proof has he ever provided any proof to the black?
There's a lot of proof. Yeah, a lot of proof. Not only firsthand witnesses. Yes, he's provided lots of proof. There's firsthand witnesses. There are documents that Harry Reid has said are real, that George Knapp has leaked, that was a Harry Reid asking for the program to get SAP status, and he listed a bigoted list, and Lou Elizondo is on that list. I actually have an unredacted copy of that document and can see that entire list with Lou Elizondo on there. That is evidence. There's also the email string that I got via FOIA, and so did other researchers, where Elizondo was clearing those Navy videos to be released to the public. So he's conversing with the Navy in his capacity in ATIP to get those released. There is a lot of stuff besides the firsthand witnesses, the guys who worked on the programs, the guy who created the program, all saying, yes, Elizondo was the guy in charge of this.
Yeah. I'm curious, have you ever talked to John Greenwald about any of this? Have you ever, why hasn't any of this ever made it to John Greenwald?
Just to let you know, we have less than a minute here.
Okay. Yeah, it has made it to John Greenwald. It didn't at first. And in fact, that was part of our arguments. He was one of those guys telling me, hey, you're going too quick on this. But like Leslie Kane, like Brian Bender, like George Knapp, like anybody in journalism, or even like the Navy or the Senate Intelligence Committee, we all saw an abundance of credible evidence that Elizondo was telling the truth. And it was the press office who had it wrong. It's just clear as day among anybody who really looks at this, who even using it in an official capacity. So Greenwald, though, was having great conversations with the press office, and he was being told something different. Now, after talking with Lou, Greenwald says, I was being lied to. And he's got a very long article about this, that I was being lied to. We're all being lied to. He believes Lou Elizondo is telling the truth.
Yeah, they actually had a conversation. We have to end it here, Alejandro. Thanks so much.
Okay. And my pleasure.
People can check out your website. Put it out there real quick.
AlejandroTRojas.com or look at me on Patreon, but AlejandroTRojas.com. And soon I'll have Open Minds TV back up.
All right. You take care. Thanks a lot.
Hovering speakers right across my shoulder, somebody asked.
All right, everyone. So that's it. And next week, as I said earlier, we have Matthew Shadakis, and he will be on, a scientist. It's going to be a great show next week. And so thank you very much, everyone. And remember to stay safe and to keep your eyes to the sky.